Hey guys, this is Andrew from Things I Want to Know. If you like the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating. Don't really know why this is important, but it is, so let's get the voice out. Also, don't forget to check out the podcast Paul G's Corner, a podcast where everyone gets a voice.
Yeah. Okay.
All this money, money, money coming to me. No handouts, I really had to do it for me.
So normally we do a podcast where I got a little opener that's all serious and what we're going to know about. But as you can tell by the name of the podcast, obviously today we're talking taxes. But I wanted to let you know just a little bit about Miss Diane here. Miss Diane is a friend of mine, has been a friend of mine for a few years, and she watches my stuff on Facebook and then just rolls her eyes mostly. But Diane is a better tax accountant than yours is. I can guarantee you that.
Never judge how you go and get it. Everybody blueprint different. Like I'm trying to heal some children. Let them know never hide their feelings. They can make it and reach past ceilings.
Diane.
Thanks, Paul. I hope I can live up to that.
You're welcome. So we're doing it live. She's actually here in the pseudo studio at my house on my kitchen table.
The pod lab.
The pod lab.
That's what I'm calling it.
We need to build one in there in the office. That way we can just out of the way and then take up my table. What do you think? So thanks for elaborating.
Well, I don't know. There's
Your pod lab.
We don't eat at the table here much.
No, we don't.
And it's a beautiful table, but I'm partial because I like antiques. But
it turns into a 10-piece play setting.
Oh, it's a pretty, pretty table. Yeah. And I don't know. Every time we move our setup, something breaks.
It's true. I moved it, and now something doesn't work this time.
So just exactly. Having me around, generally things break. So
you're not one of those people that breaks.
Y'all need to be careful.
Stuff. So I guess we need to establish your credentials.
My credentials? Yeah. I'm an enrolled agent.
What the heck is an enrolled agent? What are you enrolled in? Got a health club? What?
I'm enrolled to practice before the IRS, and that's the only way I'm allowed to phrase it. They have specific rules, but basically I am licensed by the IRS to represent taxpayers in any tax matter. And most states take that all the way down to, you know, your county property tax or your sales tax, things like that are local as well. Almost everybody looks at it and say, oh, enrolled agent, all things tax. So that's what I do. I fix tax problems.
Fix tax problems. Now, can I talk about my expired tax problem? Do you think that's a bad thing?
I would talk about your friend's tax problem, perhaps.
Well, but if it timed out, though,
that's up to you if you want to share your personal information on the internet.
I don't care about that.
Can't particularly share anybody else's.
No. But we can talk about mine.
If you wish.
That way, you know, I don't care. I mean, what my question was is that the statute of limitations ran out on mine.
That happens.
Right?
That happens a lot.
And it's gone off my report. Everything is all gone.
Oh, it's not gone. It's still there. They still know about it.
Well, yeah, but they can't do anything about it, right?
They can't do anything about it, though.
So your professional advice on that one, just before we get into it.
No, I can't give you professional advice on the air, but I can tell you this.
My particular situation, let's give your disclaimer. You have a disclaimer.
I do have a disclaimer.
Let's do that first.
I am a tax accountant. I am all things tax. However, I'm not your tax accountant. Well, actually, I am.
She's mine.
I am Paul's tax accountant.
In a pseudo weird way.
But I'm not Andrea's tax accountant, and I'm not the listener. I'm not your tax accountant. So if you hear anything on here that you think is specific advice to your situation, please see your own tax accountant and make sure that that's correct, because I'm only giving general advice here. So.
And, you know, we are humans, which means occasionally we're wrong because, you know, maybe we're drunk or something. I don't know.
Yeah, y'all have a tendency to drink on the air. So,
sometimes.
It happens. So if I start drinking, the advice is going to get worse. So.
But so mine timed out, and they can't do anything to me now.
That is correct. They still know about it. It's like your criminal record. You know, it's like, oh, it's been expunged, but yeah, it's still there. They still know about it. Okay.
Well, they can go and get the kids when you're accused of something in juvenile court, and they can still look at it.
Yes, even though you're expunged in juvenile court, that still happens. So,
and it's
but
supposed
in my
to be
situation,
sealed and whatnot, but they can still.
Oh, they can unseal it.
Oh, yeah.
But judges don't even have to unseal it. Judges can see everything. So, yeah, your criminal record, your criminal record, and your tax record is always your tax record.
Yeah, and I don't care. So
now the situation that you're talking about is the 10-year statute of limitations. That if they only have 10 years to collect, that's 10 years from the due date of the return or the latest time you paid any tax in. Generally, 10 years from the time you file the return, which is the due date of the return with extensions. And then they go all the way to the end of that year, December 31st, too. So it's not like April 15th. It's all the way through December. But if they can't collect tax in that time period, they can't collect it anymore. They only have 10 years. The states, like the state of Arkansas, we are, they don't have a statute of limitations. Right. They'll come after you for the rest of your life. But the federal government only collects taxes for 10 years. But that's not for everybody. That's only if you actually file the tax return.
Yeah.
That's not a substitute for return. That's not an estimated thing. That is if you file and sign a tax return. So if you file all your tax returns late, it's 10 years from the date you file a tax return. That's when the clock starts ticking and it's 10 years after that.
Yeah. Well, and so all mine, I had an employer who didn't pay my income tax.
And, I recall.
And when that happens, you're still responsible for paying that money, even though they've got it.
No, my question is how can you check to make sure they're paying it? I mean, it shows up on your W-2 and in your checks stub.
How do we know it's remitted?
How do you really know?
If you have a W-2 that shows that you paid it, it's considered paid. Paul had a slightly different situation that it wasn't on a W-2.
Right.
They just decided he wasn't an employee. Which isn't a choice. It's another thing that comes across my desk a lot. It's like, well, I don't feel like paying payroll time. Payroll's so complicated. Why do I don't want to get to pay this? And it costs more. I'll just call everybody a 1099 employee. It'll be fine. No.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. There's rules. If you Google 20 question test, or I also have one on the Grassroots Taxes website.
Which
you
is your business, right?
Grassroots Taxes is the name of my business.
Do you handle any? You can handle anybody in all the states, can't you?
I can do every state in the U.S., and I also have a lot of expats, people that live overseas.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if she has a place to put you, you can do taxes with her.
Yes, you can. But anyway,
she has openings.
So it was back to Paul's problem here. He was misclassified as a non-employee, even though he was an employee. And that's why they weren't paying any taxes in. And he wound up owing twice as much.
But they took it out of my check.
Yeah. But they didn't ever send it in or file the form. So you had no proof.
Yeah. And then the state of California bought them. And the IRS is like, oh, God. And they just let me. And I didn't have assets at all. So there's no reason to come.
They
after
had no
me.
Way to collect from you because you didn't have any, you didn't own anything at the time, which is kind of a good thing sometimes. But being poor is great when you owe taxes because they can't collect. They can only collect up to a certain amount, and then they can't. You know, you can't get blood from a turnip, right, or whatever they say. That's what they say in the South. I guess is you can't get blood from a stone in the rest of the world.
Yeah,
but they can only take so much. You know, they can't make you live in your car. I mean, they can't take your car and make you live in a shelter. I mean, they can only take so much of your stuff.
Your car is protected.
Your means of getting back and forth to work, your transportation, your tools, anything that's protected under the federal bankruptcy laws is also generally about the same stuff that the IRS can't take from you.
Can they take your house?
They can. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if your house is paid for, I mean, there's a lot of specific laws, so I can't give anything specific. I've had people lose their house to the IRS, though.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.
Wow. Yeah, but if they're if their house isn't worth anything, or they got a giant mortgage on it, then they're probably not.
Exactly. No, if your house is mortgaged.
Mortgage the shit out of it right before you. If you get a letter from the IRS and you're like, ah, shit, go get a mortgage.
I wouldn't do that.
No, good. You just have to give them the cash.
Because then you got funds specifically to evade taxes.
No. I had to remodel my fridge. I had to put the sandbox in outside.
The IRS is used to criminal activity. Now, I mean, everybody laughs, but yeah, when there is criminal activity, when it looks like you got rid of that, they know. They're not dumb. I mean, there may be dumb people that work for the government, but I promise you, the higher up you get in the tax structure, the smarter the people get, and super smart ones are the ones who do cases like this.
And the less interesting they become, they're those like very dry people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't mention names, but there's a gentleman in, I don't even want to say what city he's in, but anyway, he's in a city nearby here, in an IRS center. And man, he was a supervisor, and he was just so, what is the word you use? Dry. He was dry. Let's just say that. He was crunchy dry. Nothing was funny. He closed down one of my client's businesses as I was encouraging my guy from the state to get there first so the state could get there and collect assets before the federal would get there. Collect their sales tax. Yeah. Because I just didn't like them that much.
Anyway. So what I don't understand is, Paul, how did you get out of it? I mean, really,
it just went away,
but you
just disappeared.
I'm sure you paid taxes after that. And they just take your refund.
I paid my taxes,
but you had no refund because you're just like basically a single dude. So,
well, I don't have a refund anyway. If you do your taxes right. See, I hate that with refunds. People get refunds. I can understand with earned child tax credits, stuff like that. Okay, maybe. But if you're waiting for your refund and it's just you, you're an idiot because you could take that money and use it now.
Yeah.
Just do your freaking form correctly. At the end of last year, you told me just do your taxes on TurboTax. Remember that? And then the reason she told me to use it on TurboTax is because my refund was $75. My refund for the state was $75. Oh, I've got to get this. I got to show you what this is.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'll let you know that I wouldn't say the word idiot, but the IRS is not your savings account. It's a really bad way. A lot of people have extra withholding, so they get that refund in April. And I'm like, yeah, but what if your car breaks down in December, right before Christmas? How are you going to get that money? You can't get that money from the IRS. A giant refund isn't going to help you, and you don't earn interest on it. So my solution, if you are bad at spending money or bad at that kind of stuff, is go to a bank on the other side of town or in the next town that doesn't have a branch near your house, and open a savings account that doesn't, and then don't get any checks, don't get a debit card, nothing. Something that restricts you to like 3 transactions a quarter or something. One of these really restrictive accounts. Or don't get an online account. Don't go to an online bank. Go to a local bank, neighboring bank, right?
Yeah.
Then another city, and get a portion of your paycheck from your employer direct deposited into your savings account. Every paycheck. Instead of it going to the government.
Bucks.
Right. Instead of your withholding and then have it go back. And that way, if you do have an emergency, like your car breaks down or somebody goes in the hospital, you get medical bills, something like that, something awful, awful things happen. Instead of waiting till April to be able to pay it off when you get your tax refund, you can go across town during banking hours, when you're supposed to be at work, and really inconvenient, go over there and make a paper withdrawal at the teller, you know, because you don't have anything electronic to get to your money.
You
make
have
it as
to do
inconvenient
it
as possible
way.
To get your money, and that way you won't go over there because you need shoes for the wedding. Well, there are no shoe emergencies.
In my defense, I only do it. I have myself always a single, always have, even when I was married. In my defense, though, for that, not because I want a refund, because I never want to be an IRS tax issue ever again.
Yeah,
we were audited because my ex-husband went to some stupid, dumbass accountant that screwed us over, and I had to pay the burden for that. So ever since then, I've made sure I am single as a Pringle when it comes to my taxes so that I can get that safety net of if my employer ever fucks up or someone ever messes up, I at least have that on top of my earned child tax credit. But
that makes sense, though.
It was a horrible nightmare that I never want to go through again, because he didn't keep receipts. He didn't keep anything. I was scrambling around to get it and I had to deal with it. And I don't ever want to do that again.
That's a good point.
That's why on TurboTax or whatever, that you want to pay for someone to represent you. Oh, hell yes. Because I had to find somebody and we were scrambling around and we had two young kids and I'm not going to, he was just an idiot of a person. So it was coughing up receipts and they like pretty much, I felt like I was on the chopping block of having to explain every damn receipt on everything we ever spent. And it was a horrible experience.
That's true. If you file a joint tax return, it is not 50-50. It is 100-100 and they will take the money from the easiest person to get it from. And if you're the one with the kids and you're the one getting earned income credit and child tax credit, guess whose tax refund they're taking? Yours. Even if it was a business you didn't even know about. There is relief from that.
It's
called innocent spouse.
I did have that, actually.
She used that once already.
My innocent spouse is very difficult to get, but you can. But it has to. There has to be some kind of lying or cheating.
Oh, yeah, it was. In my situation, there was. I didn't even know we had a kid. I get my tax. That's how I found out. They took his back child support on my taxes, and I get a letter, and I'm like, I know where my kids are.
Oh, that's a different. No. Innocent.
That's injured spouse.
That's a complete. The only thing in common they have is the letter I. I promise you. Injured spouse is if they take your refund for your former spouses or your.
We were married.
Well, you can still be married at the time. You can split the refund. So if you have your own kids, he's got his own kids, you have a blended family, you can split the refund. You can say, okay, this is my money, this is my kids, this is what. And then he says, you know, they split it that way. You don't do the math on the form. The IRS does the math for you. So everybody's like, well, how much of that refund's mine? I'm like, I can't tell you. I can just say, this is your W-2s, this is your kids. And they split the refund how they think it's fair, and you really can't argue too much with it.
Yeah.
Of course, I have argued about, because I argue about everything with the IRS, because they're always wrong. And I tell everybody, if you get a letter in the mail from the IRS that says you owe money, or from the state says you owe money, I got a 50-50 chance of it being wrong.
But it was funny because I get the letter and I walk in the house and I said, do you want to fucking explain this? Because I didn't. That's when he explained that he was had a child and was behind on child support. And then I had to go back. And
he forgot to tell you he had a kid.
Yeah.
He didn't want to tell me. That's how I found out.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, needless to say, we divorced. So I went.
Imagine how he wound up as a single dad of that kid in the first place.
But I did go straight back to H&R Block and I'm like, okay, we need to fix this. And they did. My refund got really, really delayed.
It takes.
May, I think I got it.
May? Oh, that's not bad. It would probably take 6 months or a year.
So when I was married to Ass Face, I made sure we filed separately.
I don't recall your wife's name being Ass Face.
It's Ass Face.
Ass Face?
Ass Face.
I didn't even know her real name until his mother said something. I'm like, who?
Ass Face. Ass Face. Okay. I'll look her up on Facebook.
Ass Face.
Oh, the check.
So, yes. So, I
Just for context here, Paul has a check in his hand, and I'm really wondering what it's about.
I always made sure, though, that I always filed my taxes separately as single and filed her taxes as single because I was working on commission.
Right.
And I knew that if I'm married, that means they're going to go after both. And if I screwed up on my taxes because it's working on commission, they're going to take all her money.
Can you do that even though you're married? Can you still file under single?
No, it's married filing separately.
Yeah, okay.
When you do married filing separately, you can't claim any child tax credit credit. But if you don't have any children and you're not low income, sometimes it does benefit you to married filing separately.
It made sense to me when I was reading through it and I did a little research on it and I was like, so I better make sure that we file separately because she was making $13 an hour and I was making $300,000 a year.
Mm.
So it made no sense to put her on my taxes because her refund's going to be like $1,200 max.
Right.
Because she doesn't fill her form out.
If you file jointly, her tax bracket is going to be in the 30s. Whereas if she makes $13,000 a year, I mean, her tax bracket's going to be, you know, zero.
Right. So. Right. And that's why I did it. I mean, it made more sense. You know,
when there's just disparity in income, a lot of times married filing separate helps.
I don't have any kids, never have. Thank God I didn't have any kids with that. If I had kids with ass face, they'd be here right now up our ass because she's not going to take care of them. Sadly. I know. Everybody's like quiet now.
Well, it's sad.
It is sad.
Let's talk about the check.
Now you have my teenager kids to bug you. So
sorry. Well, you know, your 15-year-old. If I had a daughter,
it would be her. You two acted so much alike.
Yeah, we're like peas in a pod. I know she can't get away with anything because I'm like, oh, really? So you didn't do this? And she's like, ah, crap, because I'm ahead of her.
It's hilarious.
My grandson is so much like his uncle, my son. I don't like, dude. I know what you're doing.
Been there, done that.
I've been this mom for a long time. Don't wash with Game Game. No. Yeah.
So what's the check?
So I've got in my hands a check from the United States Treasury that was issued on 12/21. And I didn't cash it.
12/21 of what year?
12 December 21.
Oh, December of 21. Okay, a year old. Okay.
It's a year. It's ruined. I could cash it, I can cash it until January.
Okay.
Because it's good, valid for 1 year. Okay. It says right there on the check, valid for 1 year. But I'm not going to cash it. I'm never going to cash it.
We need to know why.
Yeah, why?
Here you go.
I'm reading this check. Oh, look at this. Look at this. The check is for $3. This is impressive because often the IRS won't mail a check for less than 10.
That's weird.
So they issued him a check for $3. Yeah. Well, at least we know they're trying. The question is, let's see, the date on this check is...
I keep teasing him. I'm like, just cash. And he's like, no,
principal. I'm not gonna cash.
Oh, no, this is one-way frame. I don't see the date on here as the exact date.
This is one-way frame.
When we frame.
That's get out of jail card right there. That tells me that I'm clear.
So let me ask you this. Why in the Sam hell are you going to mail a $3 check? It probably costs more to freaking print the paper and postage to get it here.
I don't know. Generally, they don't issue under $10, but I guess they are sometimes.
Because maybe there's some poor schmo out there that's screaming to the top of his lungs that he didn't get his $3 check.
In all likelihood, that's exactly why. I know the state of Arkansas and I believe the state of Oklahoma do not issue refunds under $5.
Yeah. Why would they? Who cares? So everybody yells about this check. I leave it in my bedroom on the dresser.
I'm like, just cash that damn thing.
No, I like it. I would frame it.
Yeah.
$3.
Yeah. I'm thinking, but it also tells me they wouldn't have given me $3 refund if they were still after me for the crap, ma'am.
That is a fact, yes.
So this is my I am free and clear card.
There's even more reason to frame it.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's not really, but it tells
me. I don't trust the government with anything.
Well, let me ask you this. Even though he says he's out of it, is there any point in time saying, I don't know, him and I get married and we both make a lot of combined money, they're like, ooh, we can go after him now.
No. Once the 10-year statute of limitations has officially passed and they note your account that it's passed, that it's uncollectible. They can't collect it.
Yeah.
You still technically owe it, but they're not allowed to get it from you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can voluntarily write a check to the government. There's that box on your taxes.
Who would do that, Elvis?
People do it all the time.
Why would you?
I don't know. There's a box on your tax reform. Do you want to give extra?
Do you know where most of our tax money goes?
Right in the toilet.
Right. Pretty much.
It goes to bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. that make our life harder out here in the rest of the world.
And there's a lot of things tax money go that people just flat out don't agree with. And that's on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, you can't.
It goes to, you know, welfare and food stamps, or it goes to war. So whichever one you hate, going to the other people. So, yeah, basically it goes to a lot of stuff you don't like. So I would never, ever give the government an extra cent that you don't absolutely owe. And people are like, I want you to be my accountant. I'm like, that's why, because you don't get any bonus points for paying extra taxes. I'm not giving them a dime extra.
I thought it was like presidential campaign or something.
Do you you could do that too.
I'm like, no.
No.
They have a
They're corrupt enough. None of that money that ever goes to them would ever elect anybody. Why would you even bother?
Yeah.
It's not enough to make a difference.
I just laugh. I was like, no, I'm going to keep every cent of my money. I'm a single mom, man.
Yeah.
They spent over a couple billion dollars, Hillary did and Trump did, during the 2016 election.
It was a bunch of mudslinging.
It's billions of dollars, though. Just in ads.
So, yeah.
Who cares?
Every single taxpayer in the U.S. gave that $3, it wouldn't even come close to a billion.
Right.
There's
only 325 million people in here.
Right. But not everybody's a taxpayer. A lot of people file jointly. So that's, you know, and a lot of people are children and a lot of people are retired and don't pay taxes, you know.
Well, they have to pay taxes on the Social Security.
Not if it's just Social Security. A lot of people.
My mom and dad had to pay taxes on their Social Security.
They probably had other income.
Well, they've got a giant IRA.
Well, there's that. Yep, that comes taxable.
Now they have to use it.
Then that makes your Social Security taxable. So, yeah.
My dad hates it because he doesn't want to spend his IRA money.
Yeah.
But because he's 80, he has to.
Oh, once you hit 72, that's it. Yeah, they fork you over a check whether you want it or not.
Really?
Yep. Can't leave it in the bank. Do you not know that?
I know that, but it totally baffles my mind because I know people that are like end-stage renal disease can get Medicare stuff early because they're considered, you know, issue and let it go to those people.
The reason they're, I know why they make you take it out because you haven't paid taxes on it yet.
That's true.
So now they're you have to force give me my
you
tax.
You can't defer the taxes forever. This is money that you put in your 401k. Yeah. This is your money. This isn't Social Security, which is a Ponzi scheme. But anyway, let's go back. We'll get to that if you don't talk about Social Security. But anyway, you're deferring the tax on it. You never pay the taxes on it. So you can't leave it in there forever because when your kids inherit it, you know, I mean, they're going to have to pay the taxes on it. But
well, if it's under half a million.
No, doesn't matter.
Really?
That's tax deferred money. There's never been taxes paid on it. It becomes income. So you have like 5 years or whatever, but they don't want to wait that long. They don't want to wait till you die. The IRS wants their money. When you turn 72, they start cranking you out a check. You got to take about 3% out a year.
Yeah.
Required minimum distributions or RMDs. And you get a check every year once you're 72. And a lot of people, they quit paying taxes when they're 65. You know, they take their Social Security and they've got some assets. Maybe they sell their house. But then they start having those RMDs come in when they're 72. Used to be 70 and a half. And 5, 6, 7 years later, here we are. You're a taxpayer again. Yep.
So I got a question. Sure. Say my father died at 64.
Okay.
He wasn't married to my mother. They were divorced. And first time having to deal with a parent's death, you know, really have nobody to help me guide. So that was kind of the end of it. My mother, about a year or so later, was demanding my dad's death certificate because she wanted to claim his Social Security and all his Medicare benefits.
Right. When she turned 60, she could do that if they were married for more than 10 years and he wasn't married to anybody else.
But that's true. Wouldn't give it to her.
So, her mom is not nice.
So what happens to that money? Does it just sit there?
Social Security? Well, it's not gone. It's in their coffers. The government has it. Social Security is not a pay-in, pay-out, dollar-for-dollar thing.
Yeah.
It is an insurance program, technically.
That's been borrowed heavily against. It has a negative balance.
Yeah, it is borrowed against. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't want to get into that. But, I mean, you pay in your whole life. I had a couple people this past couple of years die of COVID young. I had a guy who was my age. He was like 55. And he was a cop and he died of COVID. Like he being around all these people, you know, he got COVID and he died. Like that was rough. He got nothing. He got his life insurance, but Social Security he paid in his whole life. He got nothing. Zero.
Yeah.
You get nothing.
You don't even get the $200 to bury you, do you?
No.
You got to be 65 to get that $200.
Yes. You have to be collecting Social Security. So,
$200 is what Social Security gives you to bury you.
Oh, it's more than that.
No.
It's like $250.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. No.
Pretty sure it's $255.
But it was 215 years ago. I know that because grandma, she was 102. But,
wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you get nothing. If these people rely on this stuff to make ends meet. Assface and her mom are two people that think it's going to take care of everything.
It's not.
And it's ridiculously nothing. And then people who take their Social Security at 62, they're morons.
Oh, no. I've done the math. No. I've done the math.
What?
Because I didn't believe it myself. So one day I sat down with an Excel spreadsheet and I actually had to do the math. And I spent like an entire day on this, which was probably entirely too much time. But I did the math.
You wanted to know.
That it's like, how much would you get out of Social Security? So the thing is, we all have an expiration date. Nobody knows when it is. True. So you don't know when your last day is going to be. And we all have to face that. We never know. You might live to be 105. You might live, you might not make it to 65.
I'm going to live to be 947.
Are you Moses?
Yes.
Methuselah. Right, there you go. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. But we all have an expiration date. And that
you've been forewarned. That's all I can say.
That date's not going to change. It is when it is. We don't know when it is, but it's a particular day. So if you start collecting Social Security at 62, unless you live, I think you have to live to be 93 to actually do better taking it later. So if you, I mean, look at your family. I mean, does it look like you're going to live to your 93? Well, maybe you ought to wait a few years before you start taking your Social Security. But if you have, you know, some risk factors in your life, you're probably not going to live to be 93. You know, you might consider taking your Social Security early because, I mean, yeah, it's less per month, but the total number of dollars you collect from the IRS or from the Social Security Administration is greater over the course of time. So the total dollar amount between today and your expiration date, if you start at 62, it's going to be a greater number of dollars because you're, yeah, right. If you die in your 80s, okay. If you make it past 90, okay, yeah, having that greater amount every month is going to exceed, but you can start anytime between 62 and 70, and I did the math. And I tell you, I'm 56, and I tell you, when I'm 62, I'm getting my first check. And it's going to be teeny weeny, but I don't care. I want to get every dollar out of the United States government that I can get.
Well, see, but my dad's check, he's topped out on Social Security. There's a limit. You can't get paid more than a certain amount.
Right, right.
And he's topped out on it. But if he would have took it early, it would have been little less than half that amount.
Right. Well, considering your grandmother lived to be 102, maybe he has.
That's on my mom's side. My mom.
Oh, okay.
My dad, 85 to 87, is probably
still
a good guesstimate.
Now, if he's relying on that as a monthly income, yeah,
he didn't want to take it.
Like even if I wait till 70, mine's not going to be enough because I've been self-employed my whole life. So I've paid in as little as possible, and you know, most of my life has been like, well, let's see. When you were 17, they raised the 18 drinking age to 19. When you were almost 18 and a half, they raised it to 21. And pretty much literally everything else in my life has been taken away. So, you know, when the old Gen X people here start getting old, I'm pretty sure they're going to be like, oh, retirement age? 97.
Yeah,
so really? I'm fully not expecting to be able to get my retirement at 62.
Right.
I'm certain they're going to raise the age before Gen X turns 62 because, you know, who cares?
I thought it'd be gone by now. I honestly did. When I was younger, people would tell me about Social Security and stuff. I'm like, nah, we're not going to ever get it. People my age, never going to get Social Security.
You guys are younger than me, and I'm like, do you feel like you trust Social Security? No. Then I'm not going to pay in the maximum every year just for kicks. No, I am not.
Just for kicks.
So how long should you keep receipts?
How long? For self-employed or
Dad, oh my gosh, he was self-employed. And when I was cleaning out his house, he still had receipts from when he was working in his own business.
I have receipts going back 20 years.
Oh, well, actual receipts. First note that if you scan them, you can throw the originals away. So buy a scanner. Second of all, if you need to keep receipts for your small business, it's for as long as tax administration would apply. So until you're past the statute of them being able to come back and audit you, keep your small business receipts. I generally say about 7 or 8 years. Why? Because even though they have 3 years to like approve your tax return, if they find that you're doing something fraudulent or they think you're doing something fraudulent, they can go back 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, I'd say 10 years just in case because the states are different.
Now that's for your expenses. Now I have people, boxes of credit card receipts, right? My small merchants, my bar owners, my gas station owners.
Yeah.
They got boxes of every single credit card receipt, every single paper signature. You only need to keep them for 60 days, maybe 90 days, because they're only kept for things if they dispute the charge.
Yeah.
Especially bar owners. Well, I never signed that. I was drunk. It's like, well, we've got your card scanned. We've got your driver's license scanned. We've got your driver's license number on here matched to this. And you signed it at the end of the night. And if you're in a bar, you don't have to sign. I mean, it's, you know, you have to. So if they wrote in that $100 tip for the cute waitress, there's not a whole lot we can do to dispute it. So keep all that stuff. But really, they only have 60 days to dispute.
She never gave me her phone number like she promised.
Yeah.
I was going to take her out to the dinner, but I can't do it now because I gave her the $100 already. I ain't got no more money.
Wife will get mad.
Yeah. So I was never, what do you mean? I wasn't at the strip club, honey. I never went there. This is a fraudulent charge.
Don't use your credit card at a strip club.
Don't use your credit cards.
No, because
go to the bank, get cash.
You cannot trust the strippers to not take your card and learn your number.
And you have to sign.
They're a stripper for a reason. I know. It's a generalization. I know. Can't generalize all the strippers out there. But
do you have personal experience?
They are many of the strippers that I know.
But I know a few strippers that.
Oh, I know quite a few. I've represented quite a few because they're self-employed and they get self-employed problems. And I've had them come to me, and then they all know to come to me when they have a problem. But anyway, a lot of them are very, very intelligent women who are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
and you're chilling with your boobies around.
Here's some money.
And they act stupid. They act stupid at work. Paul. He's not wrong.
I had a friend.
I have a lot of respect for those strippers. They're in great shape, and most of them are really smart. The ones that are actually making money and aren't just there for, you know, because they don't last long. The ones that have been there for years and years, they know what they're doing, and they're as smart as I am. I'll tell you, they are smart, and they know exactly what they're doing. And they got stocks and investments, and it's like I forget the. What was it? Was it Pretty Woman like that or something like that? Who was it? Where the hooker was out there and she had to make all this money. Oh, no. It was the one with.
I don't remember.
It was
the movie.
I'm terrible with names. She was married to Ashton Kutcher and she's a whole lot older.
Striptease, the other one. Striptease was the girl from Saved by the Bell. And then Demi Moore did one.
Demi Moore. Yeah. She was in a stripper movie and that was her. She's like, I only got to do this for 5 more years. I'm going to retire.
The chick from Saved by the Bell that did that stripper movie. She really tried to jumpstart her career by just showing off her tits and no one cared. She didn't understand that no one cared. No one didn't care then. They don't care now. It's like, whatever. You're not a very good actress. And we really don't care. Demi Moore, they cared about because of, you know, she did the movie with Tom Cruise about the lawyers. You can't handle the truth, right?
Oh, yeah. That
she did G.I. Jane.
And she did G.I. Jane.
That was bad.
I've never seen it.
I've seen parts of it. I mean.
Can I say the quote? It's, you could suck my dick, sir.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
Might as well. I ain't gonna tell.
Okay, what's like the worst thing just a general layperson can do that's going to put them on the radar for the IRS? I'm just really curious because
what's going to put you on the radar for the IRS?
Yeah.
Not reporting all your income.
Yeah,
and that's how it starts.
Really?
So that's why I was telling everybody, don't file your taxes in January. I know you can file your taxes January 20th. I know. Don't file till about February 6th or so. Wait until January 31st. Everybody's got to get everything in the mail.
Yeah. Yes, right? True. Yeah.
And then that next week, next couple days, you start getting a couple things in the mail you didn't know about. Okay. Leaving stuff off. Like, oh, I didn't know this person was going to send me a 1099. I had no idea I was going to get a 1099 for this lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
When you win in a class action suit or something like that, and you have interest. You got to pay taxes on the interest.
Oh, wow. Right?
So I won a class action lawsuit from State Farm. I got like a $2,000 settlement, but $1,000 of that was interest that I had to report. I mean, you don't know what they're going to send you.
Well, lottery proceeds too. I mean,
yeah. Well, Yeah, lottery. Gambling. If you go to the casino a lot, and if you ever have to sign on a jackpot, that form they give you there
IRS.
At the casino, that's it. You don't get one in January.
There are IRS agents at the big casinos in Vegas. There's IRS agents
everywhere.
They have an office in the casino.
Of course they do.
And they come up to the window, and then you're actually talking to a government employee. You're not talking to
oh, yeah.
And that's weird. Nobody understands that.
Oh, no, they don't.
And that's government
the only
there.
Form you get. They do not mail you one. They are not your secretary. They are not your mom.
But the casino's going to write you off. So the casino's going to call
that a loss.
They
send that form in.
Oh, yeah.
They send that form in, and they hand you one. You don't get another one.
Wow.
And so you need to keep all your gambling stuff. And I tell everybody, just
what is gambling? How much do you have to pay taxes on this? It's like a flat fee, right?
No, it's the same as...
Same as the income tax?
You're taxed on all your income. Right. So if you make $10,000 a year and win at the casino, you're going to get taxed at, you know, practically nothing. If you make $300,000 a year and win at the casino, you get taxed at that tax bracket.
Unlike capital gains, which is if you make money on stocks, it's only 15% or 20%. And you don't have to.
Capital gains tax is always lower.
Yeah. And it's
lower.
You would think that would be capital gains because, in my opinion, when you play the stock market, you're just gambling. Mm-mm.
Well, that's true. You're not wrong. I did a video on that.
Yeah.
I call the stock market a
casino.
Yeah,
check out her Facebook account. She has all
my YouTube.
In her YouTube account. She had me do a couple of videos, but I was like not in my right mind. That was right before I got divorced.
Yeah.
So I was.
Yeah. That wasn't a good time for you.
No. I was 2 seconds from going on a shooting rampage. So that's okay.
Oh, boy.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't.
See, things got better.
Yeah, things got better. I got to actually date people I wanted to date.
My former stepdad.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get her to yell at me, but
I have a question. He's an idiot. I'm just going to put that out there. He's just an idiot. And then he didn't pay. He said, I haven't paid taxes in 10 years.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, oh? Yeah. I'm like, you know, the only sure things in life are, you know, death and taxes. I mean, that's really about it. So I was like, so... why not? And he's like, I don't want to have to pay back child support. And I'm like, oh, okay. What do you dispute with that? So they briefly lived with me for a brief period of time. Obviously, that was a mistake. But anyways, I kept getting letters from the IRS asking if he was there.
Well, you were trying to do the right thing during COVID.
Yeah. And I called them and I said, they don't live here anymore. And they're like, do you know where he lives? And I was like, no, honestly, I don't. So that was really awkward. But I'm thinking, if you haven't paid in 10 years, why did they not find him by now? I mean, what are you getting paid under the table, cash? I mean, how does the government not know where you are? That totally blows my mind.
I have a guy. Okay, so this is what he chose to do. I advised him as I'm supposed to advise him, but I'm not your mom. You can do whatever you want. But I have to advise you what's going to happen when you do stuff like this. But I have a guy now that just made it past the statute of limitations, like Paul did. He just made it this past year. I've got a few others that are out there. The IRS, they're a huge operation.
Yeah.
And they're not going to come after you for 39 cents. It's not worth their time and effort. So what is their... you know, how much are they really going to come after you for? I mean, like throw you in jail and like go through all this process and spend all this money to catch you. You know, they're going to go after people who owe millions, hundreds of thousands.
Makes sense.
So if you
tens of thousands, they might
even come. Tens of thousands. Yeah. I mean, you know, people that they know they're going to get money from, but how they have to they have to do their operations in the most efficient manner possible. Okay. So if somebody owes $800,000 in taxes and they have a paid for piece of real estate, they're just going to put a lien on it.
Hmm.
So when you sell it, that money has to go to them first.
That's the easiest thing. It costs them $25 to get on and file a lien.
Yeah.
You're never going to sell it. They're very patient. They're waiting for you to sell that house or die. And then their house and they sell it. They can put a lien on your assets. They can levy your bank accounts. In other words, they can send a letter to the bank and say, I want all this money out of this account. The bank holds it for 28 days just to make sure that that it's right. Because I've gotten money back from people that they were levied incorrectly they shouldn't have been levied. You know, you got 28 days to correct it and then they send it into the IRS, but they wipe out your bank accounts. That's the easiest way for them to get money.
Wow.
That's how they do their collections. They put liens on your property. And if you can have other things, they can put a lien on all your personal property. So like you can't even sell your car. You go to register a car or something like that, or try to sell a car. They can come after you for that too. They can find it. They can find ways of getting your money. Most of the time it's real estate and any cash they can get their hands on. Any bank account you have any interest in. They can come after your employer. If you're getting a W-2, they go to your employer and take 25% of your check or whatever. I mean, you have to argue with them, but they can take a quarter of your check without asking, plus you're withholding for that current year, but they can take 50%. Money for your backpack. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can take most of your check. I mean, they go after the easy stuff. So for them not to find people, you really have to be off the radar. You can't own any property. You can't have anything in your name. So you got to have somebody else own your vehicles.
Yeah. No large
bank
accounts.
It's unlikely to be, you know, no bank accounts.
Yeah.
No bank accounts. And I have people, how do you get by without a bank account? Gift cards. I have a lot of people that have gift cards that aren't registered to their social.
Yeah.
Wow. You just keep putting money on it. Or
you
just
want to stay
cash.
Off the grid. You can stay off the grid.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that also do things like sell drugs and, you know, prostitute themselves and things like that. But I mean, I've got a lot of people that are self-employed too. I mean,
you could sell drugs and pay your taxes.
If you sell drugs, you better be paying your taxes.
Yeah. Because that's how they got Capone.
That's how they get a lot of people.
Was it Martha Stewart, a tax evasion person? Is that what got her in jail?
No, she lied to Congress. She went to jail because she lied to Congress about insider trading.
Yes,
which is different.
I couldn't remember. Like, who was the other one that was like a celebrity or something besides Capone that got in trouble for taxes?
No, that wasn't taxes. But a lot of people go to jail for tax evasion. But it has to be pretty overt. Mentioning any current cases that I don't want to talk about.
You can do popular stuff, though. You can do popular stuff.
Yeah, but you have to be completely off the grid. It's really difficult for the IRS not to find you.
Well, and if you...
But I've had people do it. But, I mean, you are supposed to report all your income and pay taxes on it. But if all your business is in cash...
Good luck. Yeah. There's no record.
They can't prove it. You can't prove it. You know, there's easier people to catch.
Yeah.
It is not the right thing to do. And anybody out there listening, don't do this.
Yeah,
and don't do this and tell me about it. Like, I mean, because I'm going to tell you to do the right thing. I'm bound by law to tell you to do the right thing.
Even if you tell your lawyer that you're doing all this stuff, he can be forced to tell the court if it's something.
If you're committing a crime.
If you're committing a crime. He has to tell them if you're planning to commit a crime. That's being a lawyer.
And the same thing with me. I mean, I could, you know, forget you told me stuff, but I mean, I'm not going to lie to the court if they subpoena me and say this person, you know, committed a crime. But however, you know, how do you not pay taxes for 10 years? I mean, you really have to, you can't have anything. I mean, you pretty much had to be couch surfing. You can't have an address.
He didn't. He didn't have a house, car in his name. He got paid cash. It just totally blew my mind because I'm like, how can someone?
It can be done. It doesn't make it legal. But
you got a cell phone, they'll find you.
No, you can get burner phones.
That's true.
You can get burner. You have to have a burner phone. You can't have some fancy AT&T plan.
Oh, the burner phones. The burner phones are now trackable.
Oh, they're all trackable.
After 9/11, they changed all that.
Yeah.
They're not going to let you get away with that anymore.
Yeah, but you know,
they want to find you. They'll find you.
Oh, they'll find you, but it's not generally worth their effort to come after you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if they accidentally, you know, stumble upon you, like, oh, does this guy have a bank account? Oh, does he live with you?
Yeah.
Like if they stumble upon people like that, you know, if they get information from somebody else, oh yeah, they're going to come after you if they have a solid lead, but they're not going to go hunting. They're not going to go on a snipe hunt and find people who they don't even know how much they owe in taxes. They don't have any proof.
I guess that may explain like why they were asking questions like, how long did he live with you? Does he have a bank account with you? I mean, all that stuff. I'm like, no, 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 and no.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was just weird.
Hopefully you were telling the truth and didn't lie to a public official.
No.
Don't lie to the IRS.
Don't lie to
you
any
You get really official. Creative with your answers, but you need to tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's like fairies and stuff. They always tell the truth, but they don't actually, like, tell you what you need to hear. You know?
Yeah. It was just a really awkward situation because I'm kind of like, why are you talking to me? Because it was the last known address where he was at, so...
Well, and a lot of people don't know this either. We're starting to legalize marijuana more and more in states. And if you are even a medical marijuana dispensary, you can't – you're not allowed to even deal with banks. Banks can't do any business with you.
There's some banks that operate solely inside of a state and have no interstate commerce. They're set up just for – basically financing weed businesses in that state.
That's
there's
the only
a few
way.
Banks. Yeah. There's a couple in Oklahoma that only operate inside of Oklahoma. In fact, if you're an entrepreneurial mind and you've got some money and you want to do something great, Missouri just legalized recreational, and all those people are going to need a bank. So start a bank in Missouri. That's my insider tip for you.
What's the bank got to do with medical marijuana? I don't understand.
Most banks cross state lines. The currency crosses state lines, so now it's interstate commerce.
Yep.
Now it's a federal issue.
Yep.
So basically, you can't swipe a card. You can't, you know, take it. That's why you got to pay cash, because if you're swiping a card and that card is from, you know, Citibank or something that's banked in another state as well as your state, now you just had interstate commerce. Now you're selling drugs across state lines.
Yep.
That's so, splitting hairs now.
And it's federally illegal.
This is lawyers.
Illegal.
I know. Lawyers split hairs.
I know. I got my paralegal type degree in that. And I never could understand some of that stuff. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
now.
You got to pay cash for weed. They pay most of their taxes in cash, which is crazy.
They have to,
crazy amount. The payroll taxes and stuff, they have to pay them at like 7-Eleven or Casey's or something. Can you imagine walking in with a giant bag of money, going into Casey's and be like, here, I need to make my federal bank deposit. Like, oh my goodness.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get a money order. Interstate bank. You know, so there is some banks that deal with just marijuana company. I mean, I guess you could bank there if you felt like it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but they don't. Interstate commerce. They won't give you a debit card.
No. It's perfect for the guy who doesn't want to have a bank account, but he has to have one to cash checks every now and again.
Right.
That's the perfect bank.
Well, they can't cash a check from out of state, though.
But he wouldn't have to report to the feds. They're not on the radar of the feds because they're interstate. They're not.
Well,
they don't have jurisdiction.
You see.
They have to get a warrant at that point.
You see, they can get warrants real easy.
I'm teasing.
I guess the federal government. That's,
you know,
if you think they won't go out on that limb, they will do anything to prosecute people.
You know, this explains why my grandparents hated banks. One of them in particular hated banks.
Well, they also all died and took their money in the 30s.
So they always had tons of cash everywhere in various places. My grandmother would always carry her money in her bra.
Which I do that.
But, you know,
don't tell people that. You have people coming up to you accosting you all the time.
Well, then I at least know.
Yeah, at least you know? Have a good time while they're stealing from you. Is that what you're saying?
At least they're close enough for me to take a swing.
But I would hear stories at her funeral about how she was at a bar and she would literally like just whip her boob out and like was paying with cash. And
wait a minute. You can be more specific there. She whipped her boob out.
Like out of her bra. Just pa-ding.
She pulled her boob out of her bra.
And got the money out because it was.
She pulled her boob out for everybody to see to get the money.
Yeah, because it was.
You could see the whole thing.
Yes. That's the story
really
I was told.
She really did that.
That's a story I was told.
That's some grandma you have.
Yes, yeah, an interesting grandma. Say, hey, grandma, I need to borrow a dollar. Woohoo!
But. I know. She was a lot older. She was my dad's mother, so she was a little...
Don't be asking your grandma to show you her boobs. I'm telling you right now, that's not normal.
Don't do it.
But the time she was lucid, you know, with it, she would always say that the government will always take from you, and you know, and the banks are not trustworthy.
I don't blame her, though.
I mean, I'm not anti-bank.
I'm not anti-bank either, but...
It makes things go a lot faster, electronic deposits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like direct deposit tax refunds, but they know your bank account number.
Yeah.
They know that. So if you get direct deposit, they know where your tax refund went. So if you owed money and like now they know where you bank.
That's another reason.
You
that's
get
another
checks
reason
instead
I
of
have
direct.
A check.
Right, exactly.
They so don't they, have my bank account number on file.
Right. But I
they
live,
mailed me a check for $3
a country road that my mailbox is a mile from my house and they never can get my mail in the correct receptacle anyway. No. So.
Well, it's okay. No, the IRS agents aren't going to come out there. You know why? Because they're really scared of banjos.
It's not that bad. It ain't that bad. Every time he goes to my house, he goes, I'm going to deliverance country. I'm like, it is not that bad. I live north of Eureka Springs.
Oh, no. That's deliverance country.
That's deliverance country.
And it's on
she didn't know that when she moved out there. She knows it now.
But
she's trying to not say it is, even though she kind of knows it is.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
I'm like,
you have pigs on your farm.
I don't have a farm, but I do have wild hogs.
3.5 acres.
Yeah, there is.
Could be called a farm.
You need like 12 acres to support my size of a family when it comes to growing stuff. That's what you told me this spring with my garden.
She has pigs. Wild pigs. That run around out there.
Deer.
So it could be said that there's pigs squealing.
Oh my God, Paul. Stop. Yep.
I got her to say it. I got her to say it.
You got me to say it. Is it you that tell me you're going to get me a sign and hang outside so I hear banjos playing?
No, if you hear the banjos run.
You hear the banjos run? It's nice and quiet. It's, I can't help it.
Except for the banjos.
Except and the banjos.
And the squealing.
And the chickens. Well, there's a neighbor that has chickens and squealing. Oh, my God, stop.
You did it again. I did a twofer. That's a twofer this time.
You should make a t-shirt. It's going to say, oh, my God, Paul, stop.
We have that on our website. You can go to paulgnewton.com. There's swag there. You can buy that. And it says, oh, my God, Paul, stop.
I don't need Nutcracker support.
No. We're not. We got enough. They people have listened to the podcast, and I can assume, whether or not appropriately or not, I don't know, who cares, that they listened to the podcast and they have now given her Nutcrackers. You have what, 20 of them you put over here in my house?
Not 20. They got from my employees for Christmas.
Right, but they've listened to your podcast.
They said they did. They said they have it a couple times, but I don't think they contributed to the Nutcracker Fund as you were trying to advertise.
I told them, so you can contribute to the Nutcracker Fund, and or you can contribute to the Vodka Fund. Nutcrackers are for Andrea, and the vodka's for me.
I'm down with the vodka.
We may need vodka when we file our taxes.
I don't. My taxes are going to be easy.
I got kids.
The reason I have a $3 check is because what I was trying to say earlier, pay attention to what the hell you're doing when you sign that form. What's the form when you go to work?
It's a W-4 form.
W-4.
Yes.
When you do that, if you just do it right, quit being an idiot about it, and you get a $3 tax return, and I got instead of having to worry about getting my tax at the end of the year and get it back in my pocket, I used it now, and you know, that's bought correct.
I want to bring up something else about a W-4 form while we're on that.
Okay.
You know, if you file and you're like, oh, I got like nine exemptions, and I got that. Do you realize that if you wind up owing a lot in taxes at the end of the year, they can fine you for lying on your W-4? Yep. It is a federal form. It's not given to the feds. If you claim, you know, way too much or something like that, they might ask for a copy of it. But often it just goes to your employer. It's never mailed in anywhere. Right. It just goes to your employer. But if you lie on that form, you signed a federal document. You lied on it. And they can fine you for lying about it. Well, it's tax law, so it's not that. It's not really criminal. They just come after you for money. It takes a long time to get to criminal, but it could be if you keep doing it and you don't comply.
So, okay. My son got a job, first job at a grocery store. He doesn't know how to fill these forms out. He's 17. It's not like, you know,
you could always do single and one.
So
no, that's changed.
So he brings the form to me and he's like, Mom, I don't know how to fill this out. I said, did you read it? He goes, Mom, look at the damn directions on it. He goes, I don't understand any of this. I go, have you talked to your employer? I'm trying to get him to kind of like,
your employer can't help you. It's against the law for your employer to tell you how to fill out your W-4.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
The instructions, instead of being like, they used to be like at the top of the page, and then like the form was at the bottom of the page, and it was like,
now it's like two pages. Yeah.
No, it's like six.
Six.
Yeah.
Now?
It's okay. Stupid long.
So in 2020, it was 2020. I think this has nothing to do with the pandemic. It just happened. They did this in 2019 for the 2020 forms. In 2020, they changed the form completely to make it. Hold on. I know this is like radio and you can't see me. So imagine me doing air quotes. Okay.
Yeah, they
made
it doing the air quotes
easier.
Yeah, okay? It's not easy.
And anytime the government makes their forms easier, it adds 6 or 7 pages. So, but they did do a thing that makes everybody's life easier. And I tell everybody over and over and over, if you don't know what you're doing, they have a solution. Okay. So irs.gov. Okay. Don't go anywhere. That's .com, .net, .org. Yeah. None of that. That's all a bunch of lies and crooks. Okay.
They're going to steal your money.
irs.gov. Okay. irs.gov/. Okay. And there is no backslash. Okay. So /, same one as your question mark. Okay. /. W4App, APP. Okay.
Okay.
Or if you just go to irs.gov and go to, they have a search bar. When you're on the irs.gov website, do not Google this stuff because you will go everywhere but IRS.
That's right.
They don't pay for SEO. They don't care how far down they are on Google. So if you go to the irs.gov website and it says .gov, G-O-V at the top, and then you use their search
HTTPS
box.
HTTPS as
yes,
well.
Yes, HTTPS.
PPS or whatever.
IRS.gov.
S stands for secure.
That's
if
correct.
If it's not, the S isn't on there, it's not secure, it's not the government.
It's a fake site. They
That's
can,
right.
So make sure you're actually on the IRS website. Type in W4 in the IRS search box. It'll take you there. They have a step-by-step app that tells you how to fill out. They're like, are you single? Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have investments? And they go through, you fill in all the numbers, and then at the end, you push the button. And then if you have a spouse that's also working, I tell everybody, get an adult beverage, which could be coffee, alcohol, whatever. Get an adult beverage, sit down with your spouse after the kids go to bed, and fill it out at the same time. Get your pay stubs. You need a most recent pay stub. You need to know how much you're going to make in investments. Good time to do it at the end of the year or for the next year, like when you're doing your taxes and everything, got all your year-end stuff, plug all the numbers in, and it fills out. So like even if you're making money in investments or have a side business or whatever, it tells you how much to have withholding at your job so all your taxes are paid by the end of the year.
Oh, nice.
It fills it all out for you, tells you exactly what to do, and then you it will print it out. You just hand the form, you sign it and hand it to your employer. If you're married, do them both at the same time. But it's irs.gov, W4 app. And it does all the work for you. So don't go in on your new job on your first day and be like, oh, I got to fill out all this paperwork and be like, I'm just going to say this. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I mean, it's crazy. And like kids are like 15, 16 years old, like your kid.
Yeah.
Why how do they know how to fill this out? I don't know. Like, it's really complicated.
Adults can't do it either.
The easiest way, if you want the maximum amount of tax withheld, just skip steps 2, 3, and 4. Step one is like your name and your social security number. The bottom, step 5, sign and date. They'll take out the maximum tax. You don't have to fill anything in the middle of the page now. So if you want the maximum held out. But if you wind up owing every year, you have investments, you have a side gig, you drive for Uber, you wind up owing on that, you got this, you got that. You need to factor in all that, and then it can all be withheld at your job at once.
Yeah.
Nice.
Easy peasy. So you can plug all that in. The IRS will do it for you. So you have 3 days to fill out your paperwork when you get a new job.
Yep.
You do not have to have it done on the first day. You can take it home, fill it out, bring it back the next day.
Yep.
So, or you can be really prepared and have it ahead of time when you go to your first day. So,
I found in the past, before that, in the old form, one single and one or single and two will get you the correct amount of tax.
Most times, yes. If you don't have any other income.
Yeah. Yeah. For me,
now, if you have side gig stuff, you know, you have investments, you drive for Uber, you got a second
side
job.
Side gigs that require people to
or
not give you cash.
If you're married, that ups your tax bracket because your spouse and you, if you're adding your money together, you're going to be taxed at a higher rate.
What is the top tax bracket now?
Oh, I think it's 37. It used to be 39. I think it's down to 37.
So
37 and a half, something like that. Hmm. But you got to make a lot of them. It's over 400,000. So you really got to rake it in.
Because what I know. What I know when I was making, because it's 2008, I was making.
2008, before everybody lost their butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was making, about 70,000 and 2007, 2006, about 70,000. And then I started making good money. And my tax bracket, the first year, 2006, I went from making about 70,000 to around 90.
Right.
Because I hadn't, 2006 was a short year. So I only worked for that company for a little bit.
Okay.
And my taxes jumped exponentially from 70,000 to 90,000. They went up so much that it made me earn less than I did the year before working for somebody else.
That can happen.
And it's ridiculous. I don't see why they do that. It's so ridiculous.
It's not actually paying more, but you have a lot more withheld. You probably got some back, but
I didn't get any back.
You didn't get any back?
No.
Well, I really can't.
I mean, my tax
without having the numbers in front of me, but it can happen.
My tax bracket went from 15% I think it was at the time, because I was making under 70,000.
Right.
To 24, 25. And that 10% ate up my raise. And I literally made the
It's
same
possible.
Amount.
Yeah. It's possible to actually not.
Insane.
Because the money that you're getting, the extra money you're getting is taxed at the higher rate. So what you're getting before, it's a graduated tax bracket, but the money that's on top is, you know, taxed at a higher rate. So it can go to Social Security withholding.
Yeah, it did.
Other stuff. Health, and then your health insurance, you make more money, your health insurance went up, this went up, all your other stuff went up.
Yeah,
it can happen.
I ended up making less this first year at my new job. Than I was making the
net
year
pay,
before.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
It was absolutely insane. I why can't we just do a stair-stepped instead of this graduated? You know, what would
really
be the best?
I don't really understand your question.
What would be the... So, what do you think, as a person, not talking as a tax person, but as just a citizen, what do you think would be better? How would we... fix it, because taxes screwed up. The first thing everybody has to know, there's this old saying my dad says, one of the biggest lies ever told is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Ronald Reagan said that. Ronald Reagan said that? He didn't help.
No, nobody helps, because it's bureaucracy. There's a bunch of bureaucrats who want to keep their job.
It was under Reagan that we have the same tax code as Reagan authorized. We still have the 1986 tax code in force.
Oh, it's just nobody. They won't change it. Yeah.
Well, they can't. Yeah, because it's too complicated.
Yeah.
Now it's like 14,000 pages. And
It's better than the one Kennedy had when he got elected.
I don't even want to know.
Kennedy 90% tax if you made over a certain amount.
Oh yeah.
And that's insane. Yeah. He released that, and the economy went boom, just blew up.
Right.
They got rid of that, and because you can't tax a millionaire at 90% expecting to make an investment.
Yeah.
He's not going to make an investment. He's not going to earn that money. He's going to quit. He's going to walk away.
Right.
Why do all that work when you get zero pay? And there's nobody going to do that. Doesn't matter who you are. So what could we do to fix it?
I try not to make too many suggestions on what to do to fix it, because I really don't have a good answer.
Really?
But I really think our tax system is a joke, a laughingstock to the rest of the world. The rest of the world manages to... send their people a tax bill. It takes like 2 seconds to fill it out.
Even in Great Britain?
And I don't really do the taxes part, but I do have to prove my expats that live over there participate in the national health system.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, here's my profit from my small business. Here's, you know, here's what I made. And here's 4% of my income. And the 4% of their income covers their free health care.
So it's not free. They're paying for it.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's 4%. What are we paying? Like, our health insurance is limited to 8.25% for the insurance, and then 7.5% out of pocket on top of that before you can deduct it. So we're supposed to be paying like 15-20% of our income for medical expenses.
Yeah,
they're paying
4%
and nothing out of pocket. They get, you know, they can manage their entire health system at 4%. You know, if they're, well, but their health system isn't that great. Okay, so what could we get for, like, I don't know, what we're paying already? We're already paying 3, right, for Medicare.
7.62.
And we don't get it into your 65.
Is it still 7.62?
That's Social Security and Medicare. Medicare is... have what you get taken out of your check is half of 2.9, and if you're self-employed, it's 2.9, and that goes to Medicare, and you don't get it to your 65. People are paying 4% in Britain, getting free health care their entire lives. I think we can
free bad health care.
Well, it depends on who you ask too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking care of a couple people over my years in nursing that came from England.
They wouldn't give this one guy, what, a valve?
He wouldn't give him a valve because he was too old.
But like I said, maybe instead of paying 4%, maybe we pay 6% and have a better healthcare system. I'd still be paying like less than everybody's expected to pay
now. I can fix the health insurance system in 2 seconds.
Oh, this requires tequila. Okay, what? Tell me, Paul. How are you going to fix it? Because I'm dying to know.
I know what's wrong with it.
He wants to run for president.
Yeah, so we can have National Pizza Day.
Yeah. Yes, pizza.
Yes.
Well, the reason we have shitty health care and shitty insurance is because of we're greedy people who don't want to do anything about it, and we have copays. You take the copay out of it, where people have to pay for the doctor, where they have to actually walk in and pay them out of your pocket for your visit, and I guarantee you it fixes the system. Because right now, if you go to the doctor and you go just a visit, he sits down with you, talks to you for 2 seconds, and you go out and you get some prescriptions. Or you don't get prescriptions. It costs The insurance company pays for most of it. You pay $25.
I pay $5.
You pay $5. And the insurance company is ponying up $150 to $200.
That you never
would see. Would you pay $200 to go and get your prescriptions?
No.
Right.
No. Nobody
right. would. Right. Because you would never pay that. You would go to the doctor. If you know you just need a prescription, you go to the doctor and he'd say, oh, it's going to be $200. You say, fuck you. I'm going somewhere else. You go down the street where this dude's only charging $75. All right. His patients are gone. Right.
Because no one lowers his prices or he's out of money. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so everybody and it lowers it down. But right now, what we've done is we've taken the fiduciary responsibility of being a human fucking being and we've passed it on to insurance companies.
Well, there's something to that about continuity of care. If a person's going to go for the cheapest doctor, they're going to not have continuity of care and medical errors can happen.
That's their problem. They have to, if you want, it's just like anything else. If you want something that's good, if you want to go and buy a computer, you go and pay extra. You right. pay more money. You usually get, not all the time because you buy Chinese junk, but most of the time, if you pay a little extra, then you're going to get a better product. If you pay a little extra, you're going to get a better service because if that guy sucks, no one's going to go to him.
Exactly.
Right?
Well,
but it really. Doesn't suck.
I know a lot of people that go to doctors that suck.
That's because they don't have to pay. They pay $25. They don't care.
Well, true. The problem with that is a lot of people were waiting to the very last minute to come in with healthcare issues.
They're going
to
do that regardless, though.
Not necessarily, though.
Not if there's free healthcare and they can go in for a minimum standard of care.
They're just people that don't have the $200 to spend on or $75 to spend on, you know, the doctor because they have to go, I don't know, put gas in their car, feed their kids. They're going to let that one small issue balloon into something else.
But is that our responsibility?
But
is that our three of us? Are we responsible for that fourth person who's a dumbass? Should we become responsible for the fourth person who's a dumbass?
People,
or should they have their own, they should be responsible to themselves for being a dumbass?
People, though, that in my line of work through the years of bedside nursing, most people do not grasp the concept of being proactive in healthcare. And now before you say anything else, let me finish. Antsy-pantsy here, like, most people can't remember their own medicines. Most people can't remember their comorbid conditions. Most people can't even remember when they had their surgeries. Most people don't grasp, unless you're in healthcare or around someone in healthcare, understand that importance of having all that information.
I agree with that.
So they're not going to remember
why is it somebody else's responsibility to remember that for them?
But why is it... is it our responsibility to feed the hungry or
it's not our responsibility to do any of those things. Our responsibility is to take care of ourselves. If then you want to go and do that, then that makes you a good person and a better person.
It also leads to a more stable society.
I agree with it.
If we don't have thieves and people, because if you have to just take care of yourself, you're going to take care of yourself. You're going to go out and steal and
most rob people,
and do what you need to do to feed your family.
You're right.
If there's resources out there, we'll lead to a more stable society.
Right. I mean, but the problem is...
So where do you draw the line?
That's what I was about to say. Where do you find the balance between the two? And that's, you know, we used to have in the 30s, we had nonprofits that set up hospitals. And yes, they sucked a lot of times, but they were trying to help TB patients and they were trying to help people who had scurvy and the sexual disease.
Syphilis,
because there was no possible cure for it. And the government changed the tax code. Where they can no longer be a nonprofit hospital and stay open without change doing all these, not only the tax code, but the health codes. And why don't we have those hospitals? They took that away from us.
We still have nonprofit hospitals.
Not like we did in the 30s.
No, Mercy is a
for-profit. No, Mercy's a for-profit.
It's for-profit.
Yeah.
Mercy is?
Mm-hmm. The only nonprofit in Arkansas right now
is Washington Regional.
Washington Regional. And that's,
I was mind boggled by that too when I found that out.
Yeah, Andrea is an expert in that. So
I'm wondering why Mercy Hospital doesn't pay state sales tax on their purchases then, if they're not a nonprofit.
We were always told
resell
that they were for profit. I mean,
Northwest is a for-profit hospital.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
not actually the best care too.
I've never actually sometimes, like went in there and be like, let me see your tax books.
Right there, you just proved my point though. The best you're thinking of the best care is at Northwest. They're the people doing it for money.
That's true.
The people, so that's a problem. If we have somebody who's doing it out of empathy, then it's not necessarily the best care.
That's not always true.
I know, it's not always true.
Oh, wait, now hold on. Now you're getting into a different story here, which is, are nonprofits all good people doing stuff for reasons?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. Nonprofits are just as much a business as for-profits. Honestly, they are.
They have
to be. It seems like they're not. Be like, oh, I'm going to give money to these people. Oh, they do all this good work. And it's like, they're a business too. Just because they're not charging you and they have their money coming in somewhere else, they still have a budget. They still have to pay payroll taxes. They still have to make that money work. They have to get as much care out. They have to get as much work out of their employees as possible. They're a business just like everybody else. Yep. It's not that much different. The fact that they just don't have stockholders making a profit off of it.
If you want to, if there's a couple of organizations out there that are true nonprofits that really do good jobs and they don't basically rape the freaking people. And one of those is the Salvation Army. Their CEO gets $25,000 a year. They turn every dollar back into feeding the homeless. But yes, they make them pray. Yes, they're a Christian organization. But if you don't believe in God, what do you care if you're praying or not? You get free food. Who cares?
Right.
You know? But I won't give to Goodwill. Goodwill's a for-profit company. Do you know that?
Actually, Goodwill is a nonprofit.
No, it's a for-profit.
They don't pay sales tax either. You don't pay sales tax when you buy stuff there. That's because you're a nonprofit.
I don't know. Goodwill, last time I checked, was a for-profit company. I'm going to Google it right now.
You don't
now.
Pay sales tax when you walk in the door at they're one of the Arkansas's golden children that you don't have to collect and remit sales tax.
Well, Goodwill is the CEO of Goodwill, $2.5 million last year.
That is true. Because if you have profits that you can pay out, you're not a nonprofit anymore. So they pay it out in salaries. Of course, they probably should pay it to the people that are there hanging clothes and stuff and pay it to the CEO. Isn't that fair? But they're run by a board.
They're paying them minimum.
And the board votes on how it gets paid what. And as long as you make that process public, you can pay yourself whatever you want when you're in charge.
Yeah.
As long as the board approves and you make that approval and who voted for what public.
See here, and we've got. I'm looking it up. I am.
GoodwillAR.org.
Yeah, Goodwill Industries International. They're pulling down an A grade on the Charity Watch, and I'm like, I don't. You go look at how much help that the. So I was wrong, but if you go look at how much help the Salvation Army gives, every dollar they get
grossly
turns.
Different. Yes,
and I will not. Just go take crap to the Goodwill. I just won't take crap there.
There's plenty of other places.
I'll take it to the Salvation Army. I don't even like taking it down to the other one that we have here because they don't provide food all the time. What's that? The other job place here in Fayetteville. Oh my gosh.
I know Compassion 479 just opened up in Springdale, and they're always giving stuff out.
I don't know them.
They're in the one that used to be Goodwill at Gutenson and 412, or not Gutenson and 412, Carly.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those, somewhere around there, and 412, because they always back up the traffic, and they never have any.
It's always that way.
It's right by the post office, and there's like people backed up, but they give away food and baskets and stuff. They're always giving
away. Those are the kind of nonprofits that I support. I don't support ones where the CEO makes $2 million. I mean, it just bothers me. But again,
if they paid everybody $100 a year or more, that $100 would go a long way to people that are that poor.
I know. They could take it $2.5 million and cut it down to $1.5 million for the guy in charge of Goodwill. And that would go a long way to help the people who work at that place. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because they do Goodwill does a lot of job training and stuff like that. But the people that are working in the store are people that can't get a job anywhere else.
That's probably true.
And their job training, they teach them how to be good at their job and stuff with the hopes that they'll move on and they can give somebody else job training. But it doesn't matter how bad you are at your job. It's like, you know, you show up on time and like you take a shower before work. most people will just fire you. They won't tell you, okay, you need to like take a shower before you come to work.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's a non-union state. We can fire you for anything in Arkansas.
Exactly.
Which is sad, but.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
Yeah. Yes and no.
I don't know. I'm a firm believer if. You have to hold up your end of the bargain or else I'm not going to be pleasant. If you're not holding up your end of the bargain, then
Right.
You know, I mean, it sounds terrible, but I'm actually quite a giving person. I mean, yes, Andrea knows I'm actually not just a complete asshole. I help people all the time.
Yes, you do.
So I just, you know, feel that you should hold up. People should hold up their end of the bargain, you know, and the bargain is, hey, I'm here in the same area as you. Don't be a jackass.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I'm in trouble.
What do you mean?
I feel like I'm in trouble now. Did I get in trouble?
For what?
I don't know. Being me, I guess.
No.
I don't feel like I'm in trouble. I feel, for some reason, I feel like I'm in trouble.
You're not in trouble.
They're just both staring at me, not saying anything.
Now we're staring at
and
him.
And I'm trying.
Now we just keep staring at him, and he keeps shifting his eyes back and forth, wondering.
I'm trying to keep
this room full of women. Now he's getting nervous. Right?
It's unusual for you, Paul.
Trying to keep the conversation going. No dead air.
No dead air.
And they're just looking at me. It's like, oh, we're going to, yes. Mm-hmm, we're going to kill him as soon as the recording's over. As long as we don't have any proof left.
So do you have any more questions? Because I think I got all my questions answered, all my big ones.
Well, I mean,
this has been quite interesting. I didn't think we were going to be talking about crime and getting out of paying taxes. That's the last thing I thought we'd talk about today. But here we are. So this has been like super fun. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just a conversation. That's all we're doing. It's just having a conversation. Because, you know, from knowing me over the past few years, whenever I sit down, conversations are always interesting.
Get you never a dull moment.
This is true.
So I'm like, well, we just record that.
Yeah, I love it.
So again, though, your disclaimer.
Oh, my disclaimer.
Let's get that again.
Just in case you thought I was like telling you not to pay taxes and go off the grid, I was not. And second of all, yes, I am a tax expert, but I am not your tax expert. I'm just sitting here having a conversation with some people that are asking me questions. I am not giving out tax advice. Please, if you have any questions about what I ask, go to your own tax advisor. Strongly go to an enrolled agent. It's best. Look up anybody with EA after their name. That's people who are experts in taxes. That's who you want to ask. Okay. So go get your own EA or contact me. That's fine. My schedule is always really, really full. I make time for stuff like this, but my client book is always full. So if you have a huge problem, let me know. I can help with that. I don't do the, here's my W-2, do my taxes. Even Paul TurboTax. Here. I tell Paul, use TurboTax. It's free, right? So
yeah, there's no reason. That's where I got my $3 check.
He got his $3 check.
And I did not give them my routing number and bank account. That's why true. I have the check.
Yep.
Because I knew
better.
And
that is 100% up to you to do that.
Yeah. I knew that's not a good idea.
I do not trust the government or anything regulated by the government.
I trust Speedy Mart more than I trust the government.
Ouch.
I go in there and swipe my card. I'm good. I can trust them to do the right thing with that. Because there's that so many transactions.
And the strip club. Yeah, I trust them.
No, too. I don't do that. I do not. I do not use my credit card at the strip club.
Yeah, don't do that. No. And, especially if you're actually drinking a lot. So.
Yeah. I could really, really tell a bad joke about swiping my card, but I'm not going to.
Ew.
Oh, my God, Paul.
Oh, my God, Paul, stop.
Yeah. He just looks right at me. If only you guys could see this on actual
that's
camera.
Awesome. That's not a card reader. Wait.
I'm speechless. Our poor listeners are probably speechless, too.
I hope nobody just like crashed their car or anything if you're listening to this while you're driving.
Maybe we should put that as a disclaimer. Please pull over before you listen to the podcast.
Or at least 1 hour, 22 minutes in.
Find a nice place to, you know, stop and listen so you don't crash your car and die.
Yeah. That's funny. I like that. So that was the best part.
I guess so.
No, I mean, if you're facing an IRS problem, you probably fuck something up yourself because you're being an idiot, because it's not actually that hard to pay your taxes.
It's not. However,
once you get in the weeds,
what you just said, I really can't agree with, because like I said, about 50% of the time, it's nothing you did.
They just screwed up.
They just want money. I mean, I have no less than 20 people this year that went to the state of Arkansas's website when I told them to, April 15th. I was like, you need to make this payment by Monday.
Yeah.
Right now, your taxes aren't done, but they're due on Monday, and you need to pay this, and we'll figure out the rest later when you get the rest of your paperwork to me. Okay, great.
They did.
They made the payment on the state of Arkansas's website, the non-login. We put it in. I told them exactly how to do it. I was like, save that receipt and send it to me after you pay it. I want to see that you paid.
Yeah.
I want the proof so you don't lose it later. I've had no less than 20 people in the months of October and November get, well, because they didn't file till October.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because why would you, right? Like, I mean, the deadline, hey, you forgot about me. Let's file. Okay. So everybody files in like by October 15th when their extension's expired. The taxes are already paid. Everybody's cool. And instead of getting a little refund check because they overpaid by $10 or something, no, no, no. They get a letter in the mail saying,
you hadn't paid at all.
You owe $1,800. Well, what's this? Diane, why do I owe money? You told me I was getting a refund. I paid that payment. I sent out no less than 20 letters at the beginning of December to the state of Arkansas saying, fix this. What is your problem? Just because you get a letter from the state or the feds doesn't mean you actually owe the money. Right.
Yeah,
they do this all the time. They're just money grubbing people. They want more money to spend on things you don't agree with.
Well, with like my $175,000 tax lien, I probably if I would have had to pay it, say I hit the lottery and I had to pay it.
Do take taxes out of your lottery winnings.
Yes,
just
I would
so
have had
you know.
To pay extra to cover that lien before I get my check. Right. For getting the win, hitting the lottery. But if I would have done that and then got somebody like yourself, I probably wouldn't have had to pay 180. I probably would have paid 100
right.
Because there's a lot of things that you can argue with them. And I knew that. I mean, it was 2 years worth of 2 years worth of income tax.
Right.
And I was making 300,000 and 280,000, something like that thousand over those 2 years. And they never paid my taxes. Now they're owned by the state of California. So I'll never see that money.
Never.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I don't care. It's gone now. I really don't care. They can keep it. It's whatever. Government doesn't care anymore. I don't care anymore.
There's a limit to how long you can get a refund too. You only have,
right.
They have 10 years to collect from you. You only have 3 years to collect from them.
Wow.
So if they owe you a refund, you only got 3 years to ask for it. So if you haven't filed your 2017, 2018 taxes, guess what? You ain't getting no refund from 17 or 18.
Nope.
And you can't credit it forward either. You can't be like, oh, I want to apply it to next year's tax. No. Credit denied.
Work. All right. So we have... Andrea, quite a few people still booked. Oh, and we're going to talk with one of the leaders in the Jedi.
Oh, faith. Yes.
We're going to get to talk to that guy. Two people, actually. We're going to talk to two people at once on that one.
That'll be fun.
And the Jedi faith is a faith. It is. Who in the hell knew that there was a Jedi faith? Oh my God! Whatever.
I'm wondering if it's not just a tax shelter.
Nope, it's not. They're
because you can set up a church to be a tax shelter.
No, it's a real deal. I promise, it's a real deal. And then we've got John Foley coming up. He's music as therapy. How you can use music to make you feel better. Which I'm thinking, get drunk, turn it up really loud, you'll feel better. But, you know, he says there's more to it than that.
There's an actual degree in that, music therapy, yes. Oh, and they have music therapists go into nursing homes.
And then Megan Campbell? I can't remember. Megan Campbell, what has she got? Do you remember her?
I didn't get any of the emails. He doesn't forward me any of the
emails. I forwarded them to you, but you wouldn't read them, so I quit forwarding them.
I did read them. Maybe not as timely as he would prefer, but
or at all. She's going to talk to us about alcohol, actually, which is interesting. she is extremely interested in spirits, but not the kind that go boo.
Oh, okay.
The kind that make you pee a lot and then get tickets when you go home
and go to the strip club.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. And then, of course, our current and on Christmas, let's say on Christmas Day today, we've released one. Then the next week, we will have your opera.
Oh, yes. Kristen Horn, who thinks that she can have anybody sing. Anybody can. She can tease anybody to sing.
And so if you've heard this, go back and listen to Andrea sing. She got her to sing.
She didn't get me to sing.
I'm trying to get them to listen to the other podcast.
I don't know, man.
This is going to come out after that one.
Me singing, like I said, dogs howl. Not a good thing.
No, it's not true. Dogs ain't going to howl. Well, they might howl because they want to sing with you.
Oh, my God. No, that's not how this goes.
All right, so
he just wants me to sing karaoke with him.
I do. I'm actually pretty good. Have you ever heard me sing?
No. He can sing really good.
It's okay. You haven't heard me sing either. I'm actually pretty good.
I haven't heard you sing.
We should do karaoke.
I've tried to get you to do karaoke.
Let's do it.
All right. She has to go along, though.
I'm not singing,
she has to chaperone.
She has to drive.
I'm getting designated as a designated driver.
She drinks more than I do.
Huh? It's the Jew in me. What can I say?
Oh, my God. I'm Lutheran.
Yeah. All right, who else?
I tell this joke all the time. What do you get when you get four Lutherans together?
I don't know.
A fifth.
Oh, my. Oh, my God. Paul, stop.
We get a fifth. That's exactly it. So, I don't know. I guess it's... Is that it?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I think so.
100%?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Be still, ain't resting. There's no sleep till the whole fam got a meal. Till closing $1 billion deals, till the bag is stamped and sealed. All this money, money, money coming to me. No handouts, I really had to do it for me. Watch me work, watch me work, watch me work. Get out the dirt. All this money, money, money coming to me. No handouts, I really had to do it for me. Watch me work, watch me work. Watch me work, get out the dirt.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.